Mary Margaret Farabee was born in 1939 in Dallas. She moved to Austin in 1957 to attend the University of Texas at Austin. And she never left. You don't have to go far in Austin to get a sense of what Mary Margaret Farabee meant to her adopted hometown.
Mary Margaret Farabee was a great force for civic good in the city of Austin.
UT Austin history professor and author H.W. Brands was friends with Mary Margaret Farabee for more than two decades. He says for the last 30 years, Mrs. Farabee was behind some of the most well-known philanthropic, cultural, and other worthy causes in Austin.
She helped create the Molly Ivins Prize for Investigative Journalism. She was one of the people who spearheaded the renovation of the Paramount Theater. She was behind the creation of the Ann Richards School for Girls and any number of other good causes.
Causes that included raising money to sustain and grow Seton Medical Center. She was a supporter of public broadcasting in Austin, a love of hers, and generous to both KLRU Television and KUT Radio. She served as an advisor to the Harry Ransom Center, and the list goes on. Her longtime friend Nona Nyland says Mary Margaret Farabee was the glue that held each project or group she worked with together and made everyone stronger.
Mary Margaret was the kind of person you would want to invite to your latest project, because if she were able to become familiar with what your needs are, she had this tremendous internal Rolodex of resources that you could just see her mind start to click and ideas start to bubble out of her, and she would immediately be able to connect you to the resources in the community that would be helpful.
And once Mary Margaret Farabee got started, she wasn't easily stopped. Although there was one time, however, that she was slowed down. She wanted, needed, the newly opened State Capitol building and grounds to complete her vision for a Texas book festival. She said the whole thing just wouldn't work unless it were set in the Capitol, in that building with its history. But the grounds and building were declared off-limits for anything that was not run by the state. So Ms. Farabee shelved her plans and moved on to other projects. Then in 1994, George Bush was elected governor. Shortly thereafter, as Ms. Farabee told KUT last August, she received a call from Texas First Lady Laura Bush. Ms. Bush wanted to know whether she still had her research on creating a book festival.
Well, yes, I have a lot of information on it, but I got very discouraged when the Capitol was off limits and we couldn't have it there. And she said, well, would you mind coming to my office and talking to me about it? And I said, oh, I would be thrilled and honored, Mrs. Bush, to come to talk to you about it.
The first Texas Book Festival was in November 1996. It was established as a venue to honor great writers from around the world, but always with an eye on highlighting the greats of Texas literature. Mrs. Farabee said they may have gone a little overboard on that first festival.
But we were so Texas-centric. I mean, we wanted to be, you know, we wanted to have men and women, and we wanted all the cultures to be represented, but they all had to be Texan. So at the first gala, we had Sandra Cisneros as a reader, Larry McMurtry, and John Graves. Well, you can't get any better than that. I mean, it was wonderful.
The annual event has grown over the years, drawing crowds from all over the state and famous names from around the world. Margaret Atwood, Cormac McCarthy, and President Bill Clinton have spoken at the Texas Book Festival. For many, launching such a legacy would be enough. But Mary Margaret Farabee had more plans. Micah Jordan is Executive Director of Development for the Paramount Theater.
I think that she is absolutely fascinated and invigorated by art and the beauty of it and what it does for people's soul.
Although it was maybe her soul that drew the greatest inspiration. Her friend Nona Nyland remembers walking through the Ann Richards School for Young Women Leaders a few years back. Nyland says it was just a general tour until Mary Margaret Farabee saw the artwork on display.
And so Mary Margaret, in typical fashion, is going through the school and thought, these girls' work should be seen. And so on her own initiative, she was able to reach out to the individuals who had established the East Austin Studio Tour. And subsequently, even in her last 6 months of life, she did the same with the West Austin Studio Tour and made the connections with gallery owners to find a place where the girls' work could be seen, personally underwrote the expense of having a reception and basically established just spontaneously an incredible opportunity for these girls with artistic talent to have exposure to the community and build self-esteem and a sense of accomplishment.
Working until she couldn't, to help as many people as she could. Friends say that was Mary Margaret Farabee's spirit writ large. And she was always so excited to see what emerged from her efforts. Not for any personal accolades, but to see how each effort affected others. And always, of course, as a demonstration of her pride in Texas.
It's always a thrill to see the main authors that are on the, you know, that are you're reading about in the New York Times coming to the festival. And so we're not as tech-centric as we used to be. But there's a feel of it when you go to the festival. I mean, the art and everything is always representative of our culture here in the state, which makes it really exciting.
Mary Margaret Farabee was 73. She is survived by her husband, former Texas State Senator Ray Farabee, and her daughter, Patricia Albright. Her son, David, preceded her in 1996. Ben Philpott, KUT News.